Blog Talk Radio.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay you dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can you paint up on the frame, dude? We stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, mine is like a deep mine that's full of gold. Better dig it out before the time will turn you old. Yeah. I ain't talking about the physical, I'm spiritual. If you follow with your calico, I'm Alamo. I'm standing here to make my stand until I go. Why you acting like a hater? Oh, I'm so intangible. Look it up. Vocab in your bloody manifold. Yeah, I've been making these records like I'm Barry Manilow. Ain't no telling when you follow self and how the man will grow. Ain't no telling how you make your wealth and how the plan will show. All the people had to climb up out they mental catacombs. I'm a sellout at the drone, rapping with a megaphone. I'm a god up on this microphone, I came to raise a throne. Vibrating in a mega zone with my metronome. I'm so loyal, I can't leave my home, I can't leave alone. I'm so loyal, I can't leave my own, the mimic.
Welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Thursday, March the 7th, of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to talk about something that's extremely important, because we want to talk about your frame or your narrative or your perception. Your perception encompasses or creates your reality. And your perception is the only thing that can be your reception. And your reception, that is what promotes and continues to establish your deception. And so it is this inability to realize that we are unconsciously creating our own deception. We are living in a world or in a ill, sick, illusion or city or creation. So it's not sick from the perspective of wrong or right. It is sick from the perspective of good or average or stable or acceptable, meaning that because you are good, it stops you from being great. Because what you have right now is good, that prevents you from moving in the direction of great. And now this is like some deep Jedi mind trick stuff right here. But you're doing it to yourself. So right now, we are all good. We live in the greatest country, arguably, in the world. Being homeless in the United States is better than having a mansion or being wealthy in some other countries. So in these United States, and again, I work with that demographics, and I had an opportunity to, you know, assist with getting homeless people off the street. And this was my education, which is what I'm sharing with you today, as I do on every show. This is real life experience. This is not book knowledge. This is not no YouTube video. This ain't something I read out of no magazine article. This is real life shiznit. And because it's real life, it stifles the imagination. It really does. The personal psychosis, the mental psychosis that we are voluntarily in is staggering. What we call normal is really mentally deranged. If you really look at it from a clinical perspective, we're not even talking about religion or spirituality, or we're not talking money. We're just looking at this from a clinical perspective. If you was to go see a psychotherapist and you was to go sit down and lay on someone's sofa, and if you was to talk to them about your life, and if you would break down your life and you would go through, you know, where you are, who you are, what you're doing, how you got to that space in your life, what your goals are, you know, what happened to you when you was a child and when you was a kid, how you are projecting your personality onto other people, you know, and how you can only see the world based upon your experiences. Everybody cannot. It is impossible for me. How can I know what is the culture in China right now? I've never been to China. I don't know any Chinese. I'm totally unaware of the narrative in China. So that is what is called, everybody, we all have a realm of darkness. So the realm of darkness, R-E-A-L-M, that is your current reality. That's the current level of consciousness. And we talked about this a little bit before when we talked about your circle of awareness or your circle of consciousness. Now, when we talk about it from a clinical perspective, it is not real. It is not reality. It is not expected of you to know the things that you don't know. So it is, however, expected of you to consider that there's a possibility that there is something that exists that's outside of your realm of knowledge. Now, let me say that again. Because, see, right now what's happening is if you were to take out a sheet of paper and if you were to draw a circle on that sheet of paper, and if you're at home, please humor me for a moment. If you're at home right now, take out a sheet of paper and then draw a circle. Now, everything that you know right now is inside of your circle. So if inside of the circle, just right, put M-E, put me, or, you know, that's you. You are inside of this circle. That circle is your reality. That circle, that reality, that is your perception. Your perception is everything that's inside of the circle. Everything that's outside of the circle is what? What's outside of your circumference, if we want to use that term? It's this ability or this inability to realize that I'm not all-knowing. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I know a lot of stuff. I read a lot of books. I researched a lot of stuff. But guess what, boo-boo? My perception is based upon my personality. That's based upon my temperament. That's based upon my mood. That comes from my food. which is basically the environment that I'm in, the information that I receive. So the information formats my personality. And since my personality is formatted by the information that I received, I can only receive so much information because my perception has established my – now, remember, your terms or the definition of the words that you use establishes the world that you live in. So your perception is the ability to see. So your perception is what you are aware of. Your perception is your mental disposition. Your perception is your state of being. Your perception is the way that you process. Your perception is your discernment. Your perception is what you have cognitive of. Your perception is cognition. Your perception is your ability to understand, to interpret, to appreciate. So how can I appreciate something that I'm not even aware of? If I was to go to another culture, I wouldn't appreciate that culture, probably, because I would be like, man, like there's some, like when I was in the military, I would go to some places where they eat, you know, octopus while it's alive. And you stab the octopus and you put it in your mouth and its tentacles are wrapping around your cheek because it's fighting for its life. Now, in that culture, that's acceptable to eat shiznits while it's moving on your plate. Now, where I'm from, if it's moving, you don't eat it. That's me. If the food is moving on my plate, I just, you know, my perception tells me that's not edible. So there's certain things that because of my perception. And so your perception is the process by which all of your sensory inputs are codified or unified so that you can view the world. Your perception is how you view the world. So your perception establishes your reception because you cannot receive what you cannot perceive. And what you receive is based upon what you perceive, and that allows you to be deceived. Because my perception, now, have y'all ever heard of this, those diseases where people look in the mirror and they see themselves really, really skinny and or really, really fat, or their perception is flawed? They don't know whether it's bulimia, and they got all different types of names for it. But there is a mental illness. There are mental disease. There are ways by which we see the world that, based upon cognitive psychology, is not right. Something's wrong. So your perception, your cognitive ability to actually see what is really real. Like you, there are people that can't see, even though they see. Your perception is the process of recognizing and interpreting stimuli. So some people's process is flawed. Some people's ability to recognize an object is flawed. Some people's ability to recognize, let's say, something that you should be afraid of is flawed. Some people don't have the ability, now again, based upon modern psychology, some people do not have the ability to group certain things in its perspective or in what they call visual perception. Some people don't have that. Some people do not have the ability to see something for what it really is. Now, the Bible calls that discernment. So your perception establishes something that's extremely important, what you receive. So when I can give you a rock and you would throw it away, because if you don't know that rock that I gave you is gold and you do not have the ability to interpret, you do not have the ability to perceive, you do not have the ability to see that there's value, that gold, that rock is valuable, you're going to throw it away. So your perception establishes your reception. Now, I can give you something, but can you receive it? So if I give you a present and you never open it and you leave it underneath the tree, did I not give it to you? Yes, I did. But did you receive it? No, you did not. So your perception establishes your reception, because your perception is cognition. Your perception is understanding. Your perception is recognition. Your perception is your appreciation of. So from a psychological perspective, what's happening is your perception is actually based upon your belief or your opinion. It is based upon how you see the world, based upon what you the information that you received in your life. So your perception could be flawed or limited or skewed. Now, I know my perception is skewed because my perception is that of a black man that was raised in the South. So let me make sure you understand. From my perception that I have a certain reception, because the brain only lets in, the reticular activating system of the brain only allows you to receive things that you supposedly need, meaning things that's going to benefit or validate or support the existing perception. Let me say it again. The reticular, your brain blocks out anything that doesn't agree with you. That's why beliefs are so dangerous. That's why believers are so dangerous. Because if you believe something, you have no fact, you have no proof, you got to believe. Your belief system establishes your perception. Not your fact, not scientific fact. I can tell you 2 plus 2 equals 4. I can give you facts that prove. I can draw two lines, and then I can draw two lines next to those two lines. But if you believe that two lines and two lines equals eight lines, I don't care what facts I present, your belief is going to determine what you receive. And in fact, your brain will skew, or your brain will change those beliefs. Now, that is the most dangerous thing that I can say, because I could stop a bomb on my chest and run into your house and blow you up because I believe that I am destroying evil. And I believe that when I die, there's going to be 10 virgins waiting for me. But how did I establish that belief system? Somebody gave me some information, probably when I was really young, that formatted my brain. That formatted brain produces a mood. That mood is my food. That mood is a temporary state. That mood is the only way to establish a mood, which is a frame of mind or an emotional state, is through feeding it, establishing it. So in modern psychology, when we look at the atmosphere for establishing the mood, we talk about things like, you know, trauma-induced mind control. We talk about things like controlling the narrative. We talk about things like, sleep deprivation. They talk about things that, again, these are things to help establish your mood, because that mood is going to establish your temper or your temperament. But it all starts off with a temporary, because it's not permanent. It's temporary because I'm just feeding you. I'm establishing it. So when we look at psychology, we're looking at the fact that behavior is a biological result of different learning systems that has value and attributes that establish a disposition that's called a personality. So this makes up what is called your constitution. This is the thing that makes you do what you do. So there, in psychology, there are like four major temperaments. Now, there's a lot of different temperaments, but, you know, personality plus, I just talk about this a lot. You have the, you know, peaceful phlegmatic. You have the popular sanguine. You have the melancholy. These are all the four basic temperaments that establishes your personality. Once that's establishment, once your personality is established, personality is a code word for pattern, and patterns are power. Once that pattern is established, the pattern only let things in that I, that verifies or that are the same as the pattern. Let me say that again. I don't know if you got it. So your pattern is established by your personality, and your personality is established by your temperament, and your temperament is established by your mood. So you ever heard somebody say, "Hey man, don't mess with him. He's in a mood." So a mood that is held for a long time establishes a temperament. A temperament that is held for a long, or the time is actually 21 days. If you can be in a mood for 21 days, again, 21 days, that establishes a habit. Another 21 days, that establishes, I think it's a lifestyle. Another 21 days, then that establishes your destiny. So 3-21, and bam, your perception is that's it. So nothing gets in that doesn't validate. Now, remember, everything you do in life is to be validated. Everything that you do, everybody, that's not a soul. I don't know, people tell me all the time, I don't care what other people think. Bull hockey. We all do. Now, you got different levels of it, but at the end of the day, everybody wants validated. Everybody wants to be validated. I've never met a person on this earth that doesn't want validation. We all want to. What is the word validation? It means that you're accurate. It means that you're supported. It means that your truth. That means that it means that you are endorsed. Everybody wants approval. That's why we got. Why is social media so important? Why is it so powerful? Why is Facebook? People go on Facebook to get likes. The likes release dopamine. Validation releases dopamine. It releases serotonin. It releases all of the feel good chemicals. So is there anybody on this call that don't want to feel good? That I don't know nobody who says, "Hey, Doc, I want to be depressed, Holmes. I do not want to feel." Remember the series I did on Feelingpreneur? That's all I do. I'm here to inspire people. The word inspire means in spirit. So you go in, you release the spirit, and you uplift the spirit of humanity. That's my mission statement, uplift the spirit of humanity. So everything I do is to inspire, is to motivate, is to bring about, you know, enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm means entheos. It means God. It means putting God in people. So everybody wants to feel good. I don't know nobody who doesn't. So in order to feel good, there are certain feel-good chemicals that are released in the brain. So these feel-good chemicals, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, glutamine, all of these are chemicals that are released in the brain. All I've done is I've learned how to self-medicate myself. That way I don't need the outside validation of other people. Because my perception is controlled by me, and I can expand it. So that's the purpose of what I do, is to assist you, with understanding how to change you. Because right now, you are so good that there is no reason for you to expand and be great. Right now, there is no reason for you to be great. That's why you can't change. You don't have a negative habit pattern. You got a good habit pattern. You're good. We all are. Everybody's good. But nobody's great. We're so happy being good, we're not interested in being great. Now, we're going to talk, we're going to say the rhetoric. Of course, if you make $100,000 a year and I ask you, would you like to make $200,000 a year? Your answer, of course, is going to be yes. I don't know nobody. Now, I've heard people say it, but when it's actually presented, they got a different narrative. I've heard people say that I got enough money, but I don't want no more money. That's not true, because even if you don't want the money, you would get the money because you know somebody who needs the money. If I gave you the secret to all health, that means you could cure any disease on earth. Would you be interested? I know a lot of people will say, "No, I'm not interested. I'm good. I'm healthy already." I've heard people tell me that. What are they saying? Emphasis: I am good already. So your problem right now And everybody in the life management system and the Kingdom EMS Training Center, the reason why a lot of people are not making, quote-unquote, advances is I'm telling you to leave a space of good, comfortable, dependable, routine. You've been doing it for 10, 20, 30, 40, in my case, 50 years, and I come along and tell you to leave a known place of good to go to an unknown place of great. And your response is unconsciously, your perception doesn't allow you to exercise a reception. So therefore, you stay in your deception. Now, deception is not bad. We are in a prison of our own creation. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to these, they call them, you know, when I was working in the prison system, all the inmates would want to go to the Holiday Inn. That's federal prison. So federal prisons are called a Holiday Inn. All the inmates want to go to, if you want to do time, you want to do time in a federal prison because you got good dental, good medical, free library, you know, three hot meals a day, you know, you got rec time, you got a library, you got visitation. Some states even have conjugal visits where your girl can come up there on the weekend and y'all get a, they let you go out to the room in prison. Is that really prison? Yeah, if I had to go, I mean, I would never go, but if I had to go, sign me up for that program. And I don't even got to work. And I get a place to stay. I get three meals. I still get to go hang out with my girl, even though it's in a controlled environment. I get visitation. People can come see me. I get to go to a library. I get, you know, I have, you know, oh, man. These dudes are living, they live in large. Of your tax dollars, excuse me. So that's where you are right now. But you think that the people in prison are in prison. You don't know that you're in prison. Now, the prison is a it is a very good prison. What your life right now is very good. So I'm doing shows and I'm you listen to one on and we're doing one on ones and we're talking about stuff like doing the private show. I'm explaining to you the true narrative of the entire world that has been proven. This cannot be not proven. Because it's cyclical, it's in the stars. So I can use the stars because it is a band of fixed stars. They are there. All of the gods, all of the creators, they lived in the sky in this invisible abode of the heavens. That's what the word heaven means. And then they were personified. They became what they call super celestial beings. And that's where all of the mythologies came into place. And they incorporated these super celestial beings and they personified them. They took on inanimate objects, took on animation. This is called the archetypal spiritual personification. So it's the ability to take something and turn it into something that you and I, we want to give it human features. We want to flesh it out so we can relate to it. I cannot relate to the sun up in the sky, but I can relate to the sun walking down on earth. I have to personify the pleroma. This is what is called allegorical description. So everybody has an allegorical description of the pleroma or the pleru. So that way we can relate to it. That's your perception. So therefore, your perception means I can only have a reception based upon my perception to establish and maintain my deception. So we are deceived by our own reception based upon our own contaminated perception. So then somebody like me comes along and I tell you, you are unlimited. And I come along and say, you are indestructible. You are immeasurable. You have, you know, all power, meaning power being the ability to perceive, overstand. And I bring things into your awareness circle, and I say words that you have not heard before, like the cosmic rock tour. That's outside your circle. You're like, what is that? And I say words like barbello. That's outside of your circle. What is that? Then I say words like you have to be instructed by the realm of light. You say, what is that? And then I say something like the 10 archons. And you say, what is that? I say Nibiru, the destroyer. And I make words about all Genesis, and I talk about the big G or the Father from a spiritual perspective and say words that are outside of your circle. And since those words are outside of your circle and your circle is your perception from a biblical perspective, these words are not inside of your circle. Otherwise, you would already know the meaning of these words. And since they're not inside your circle, you automatically reject them without investigation. From a psychological perspective, rejection without investigation equals duplication. So the definition of ignorance is rejecting without investigating. So if I come to you and I tell you something and you don't investigate it, but you reject it, you don't accept it, you reject it, that's the definition of insanity. That's the definition of ignorance. That's the opposite of the biblical term aletheia. The biblical term aletheia means to investigate, then reject. You don't reject without investigation. And notice you have to do the investigation. It is not my job to prove something does or doesn't exist. It's your job to prove that it doesn't or that it does. That's called perception. So your lack of perception means you lack reception, which establishes deception. So perception, reception, deception. Notice the words. Notice those three words are pretty much already, all three words are the same. Just change the first letter. Perception, reception, deception. They're pretty much the same words. They all have to do with inception. So your inception is stifled by those three things. Perception, reception, deception. So therefore, you don't have inception. So I come along, and my job is to assist you with inception. Now, when we talk about inception, that was a movie talk that broke down that was called Inception. And in the movie Inception, it was about a dream inside of a dream inside of a dream, meaning everybody was dreaming, and nobody could – they had to have this spinning thing. Remember that they took something that was concrete. That way they could tell if they were still in the dream or not. Meaning the deception was so real that you have to have something outside the circle to prove you wasn't still in the circle. Now remember, in the movie Inception, Leonardo DiCaprio, he was a thief. Remember, he was just stealing stuff. But he had the ability to enter into other people's dreams, steal their secrets while they are unconscious. Remember those people that I was telling y'all about? The wipers, the controllers, the erasers, all of the dark people. What y'all think they got that movie? That movie in Inception, that's about the spirit realm. But they put it in like Hollywood always do. Hollywood, they give you the truth, but without telling you that it is the truth. So Leonardo DiCaprio could go into other people's dreams in the movie Inception because perception, reception, keeps you in deception. So you cannot have inception. So inception is the ability, and it's a skill, again, remember, based upon the movie. This dude could go into other people's dreams, and he was committing corporate espionage, basically. He was stealing corporate secrets. He could read other people's minds while they were asleep. And so that's what I mean. People steal your intention. That's called precognition. So once you establish a thought and make a plan, it can somebody, the dark lords, can go in and intercept that plan. So your job is to wake up. Remember, in the movie Inception, if you died in the dream, you died in real life. Remember in the movie Inception, when he finally returns home after living in the dream world for a long, long, long time, and he has this top, and he keeps spinning the top to tell whether or not he is in the dream. If he spins the top and it stops and falls over, that means that he's back in reality. If he spins the top in the dream and it keeps spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning, that means he's in Groundhog's Day. He's in a dream. Brothers and sisters, you're in a dream. How do I know? You don't do, remember I said if you wake up and you are in a program, you've been programmed to get up at the same time, to go to work at the same time, to do the exact same thing. If you do not live your life spontaneously, your heart doesn't go up. Remember, frequently repeat it, but you don't got no, or you lack an emotional response. That's Groundhog's Day. Your heart doesn't elevate. I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about mental. I'm talking about your toes are not curled. I'm talking about you're not doing anything that solicits an emotional response. Your perception establishes your reception, and that keeps you in your deception. So that way you cannot have inception, meaning the Father cannot lead you and guide you by the Ruach. Every day you should wake up, and there should be some unplanned, spontaneous activity that you engage in, even if it's just a thought. If your thoughts are structured, now this just happened to me. So y'all know I'm not really a big F-bomber. I don't really curse like mother, this, that, and the other. I'm not really that. But if I find, you know, cursing, like yesterday I posted a video. And it was funny because one of the brothers, I think Brother Dana, one of my clients told me, you know, let the son, you know, kiss your ass today. So I thought it was humorous. It was funny. But that's outside the program of religion. And so I got a lot of flack from people who said, well, I thought you was a preacher. I thought you was a man of God. I thought that you were a moral person. Now, remember, I told y'all already, I'm not a moral dude. I don't, been there, done that already, got two t-shirts. So I am purposely, that's why I do that, on purpose. Remember, everything I do is on purpose. It's not on time. So when I make statements, I know it's going to solicit a response. So I am not surprised. The people who hear the statements are surprised, but I'm not surprised because why? I'm telling you, wake up, boo-boo. You're in a dream. Because I said something that's outside of your program. It's outside of your circle. Whether you're in a religious circle, whether you're in a racial circle, whether you're in a financial circle, whether you're in a health circle. Oh, everybody that's overweight, I can't talk to fat people. And then fat people, I don't like skinny people. Tall people, I don't like short people. Short people don't like tall people. Black people don't like white people. White people don't like, everybody got all of these hang-ups. That prevents you from inception. That prevents you from living. You're in Groundhog's Day. Because everything that you're doing is a program response. So if I say a word that's outside of your approval, you're going to automatically reject. You're not going to investigate. You don't even care if the joke was funny or not. It's just, that's, you know, I can't believe that this brother's supposed to be educated. And he, now, I'm not talking about the people that drop F-bombs every other word. That's just, you know, okay. But even that in itself is a still, because remember, my son helped me with that. Because my son drops F-bombs every other word. Now that I realize why, it's okay. Now that I made it okay, now my son doesn't drop F-bombs no more. You see, it was like I was causing, because my son was picking up my resistance to his speech. That empowered him to continue the speech. So really, it was my fault that my son was dropping F-bombs because he could sense my disdain for F-bombs. So what is it that you disdain? Because you bring about what you disdain about. You bring about what you fear. So really, you are creating your own okay, excuse me, that you live in. Now, think about how deep that deception is. Because remember, right now, the only way for you to move forward to let go of the thing that you disdain. How do you let go? This is mental. I ain't talking about nothing physical. I'm a metaphysician. You mentally, what do? That you forgive. You make it okay. Because when you forgive, you disconnect that silver cord. Whatever you hate, you are attached to. Whatever you hate, you're dragging around like a ball and chain. You can't move forward because you weighted down. You can't get out of groundhog state. You can't get out of the groove that you're in because you're stuck in that groove because you're attached to that. That groove means you can't move. That groove, that grove, that's what the word ritual means. It means a grove. It's a groove. So the key to moving forward is not to do more. The key to moving forward is to let go of more. The key to growth is to let go of all of your beliefs. The key to controlling other people is to not control other people. Let me say that again. What you want or what you need, you cannot have. What you don't want, what you don't need, is you can have all day. Now, I've been saying this for 20 years. I got, you know, if you can wrap your brain around this, this will change your life. Now, remember, right now, you are holding on to good with a death grip. You're scared to death to get out of your routine, mental routine. You know that you were raised in an environment, and that environment taught you to think this way. And so you are afraid to change how you think because it's unknown. So you rather stay in a known place, but it's not hell. No, it's heaven. But there's 13 heavens, really 7, depending on who you talk to. But as we've been talking about in the evening show, there's really 13. And again, for everybody that's a part of that show, you know, we're breaking it down, and I'm proving it to you using on cosmology and using theology and using biology. So you are in, remember, everybody on earth is in one of the three heavens, physical, soul, or spiritual. Then there's 4, 5, 6, all the way up to all the other floors, and you're at the bottom three. And your life is good, right? Is there anybody listening to this show that your life is not good? Even if you're homeless, your life is good because you can go to a homeless shelter, they give you free food. I saw a place, there's a restaurant where the owner was giving free food every day to homeless people. It was somebody posted on Facebook. Some Iranian dude. He just said that he used to be homeless, so now he got a restaurant and he's successful. Any homeless person can walk in there and just say, I'm homeless, bam, no charge, free food. They got men's shelter. Hey, I know. Not only did I work with the homeless, I've been homeless. So being homeless in America, you're still good. Now, I know you may not want to be homeless, but just again, this is worst-case scenario. I doubt very seriously that anybody that's listening to my voice that is actually homeless. But what I'm saying is you're good. You are so good, you're listening to my shows, and you can't change. Why? Why the hell would you change? Why would you grow? Why would you go from being good to gooder? There's no guarantee that there is gooder out there. Because gooder is outside of your circle. Good is inside the circle. Everything I'm talking about is outside of the circle. And you tell me, hold up, Brother Will, you want me. Because remember, satisfaction is the father of ignorance. Everybody's satisfied. That means everybody's ignorant, including me. That's why I challenge my satisfaction. And I create an environment where I can grow. How do you grow? You evolve. How do you evolve? By expanding your circle. How do you expand your circle? By realizing that your belief system may not be the best system, or it may not be the only system. So what did I do? I said, okay, I got a creation story. I raised Genesis chapter 1. I know that creation story backwards and forwards. I was a licensed preacher. I know that story. Then I asked myself, hey, I wonder if there's another creation story. So I got a creation story, and I like my creation story. It's good. But then I had a thought. The thought that said, your creation story is good, brother. But is there another creation story that's not better, just different? And I went into the military, and I met other cultures. I met my roommate, his name was Toyo. He was an Indian. And he had a different creation story, and he talked about the Great Spirit. And he talked about the trees were actually alive. And he talked about the wolf, the buffalo, all of the animals had, they were different spirits. And he had different stuff that he would do. And then I went to a powwow with him. And I saw them dancing with all these flames to me, the culture. And I was blown away that they got a different. I didn't say it was better. I didn't stop believing in my creation story. I just entertained, this is the definition of the word truth in the Bible, I entertained the ideal of a different culture. And then I went to Japan. And I didn't live on base. I chose to live out in the culture. And I went to a Japanese cherry blossom. And I saw these old, I saw like 5,000 old people out in this field. And they were all doing these real slow movements. And it was all in unison. It was, I could not believe it. And they was on break. In the, this, and they all went out on a break. And they was out there doing this Tai Chi. And their flexibility and their movement, and they were old, but they were all thin. I didn't see no overweight. I didn't see no diseases. There was no fighting. The cops didn't even carry weapons. And I was like, what is this? They don't even have guns. I went to Osaka. I went to Tokyo. I went to Iwakuni. I went to Okinawa. And I was just, then I went to Busan. I went to Korea. And then I went over to the Philippines. And I saw cultures, and they had different, I didn't say better, different creation stories. And they got different food. They had different way of living. And my circle expanded. My perception expanded. It got bigger because I exposed myself to different cultures. I read different books. I went to different places than other black people. So now as a black man, I listen to country and western. Every once in a while, I throw on some, you know, Shania Twain or some Garth Brooks, some Charlie Pride. I ain't got no problem with it. I listen to some jazz, some Kenny G. I listen to a lot of different stuff because my culture, my perception has expanded. But if I had stayed in my little two-horse town right outside of Houston, Texas, if I would have just stayed there, because I got friends and family who never left, when I go home, they look at me like, dude, what happened to you? Oh, you think you white now? Oh, you're an Oreo. You just one of them Negroes that you forgot where you came from. And every once in a while, I got to remind them. And every once in a while, you got to remind people that you ain't forgot. You from the hood, too. You ain't forgot. But they want to keep you in that limited perception. So that way you have a limited reception. But you can have a big deception. So the way that you get rid of deception is through inception. That is what is called your personal spiritual revelation and inspiration. The highest degree of perception, the Bible calls it intuition. Brothers and sisters, I don't know. If you don't get this from me, you got to get it from somebody. You are so good that your good is destroying your great. And your great is destroying your greater. And your greater is keeping you from your greatest. We are so happy, we don't even want to be happier. Now, I'm not saying that you should even want to be happier. I'm talking about deception. Because everybody that's deceived, I've never met a man or a woman who walked up to me and told me, Doc, I am deceived. Never. Now, I know I'm deceived. I'm telling y'all I am deceived. The Bible says that there is none righteous, none of one. The Bible says, Satan, that old dragon, who has deceived the whole world. See, I just accept that's the key. The key to change is to realize that you need to change. I don't know nobody else that can make that statement. I've not met a man, woman, child on earth that have said, I am deceived. that recognizes their own psychosis. I've never seen that. And every day I wake up and I say this, Father, I believe. Help my unbelief. That is biblical. That's the scripture, by the way. Why would the, I think it was the Caesarian soldier who said that. Now think about the statement, say. He says, first of all, he's talking to the Father. And he says, Father, I believe. So he's not telling the Father that he don't know nothing. See, I got some knowledge. I know that the world is bigger than me, man. The world is just not from the little freaking town of Richmond, Texas, where I grew up. That's a big world. I've never been to Paris. Anybody been to Paris? I've never been. There's people in Paris that have never been to Texas. They probably come to Texas. They see them cowboy boots and them hats and the big buckles. But then if they go to a hood in Texas, they ain't going to see no cowboy hat. They ain't going to see no big buckles. It's going to be something totally different. All people from Texas, everybody from Texas don't speak with a slang, and everybody from Texas is not a good old boy. But that's the perception. So in this scripture is Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, where he says, Father, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. What he was saying is his belief is his unbelief. Woo! Cookies blown. Let me say that again. So your perception is your deception. That's what he's saying. In the chapter of Mark, this dude, he must have been my distant cousin or something. Because that's exactly what I think. That's exactly how every day I wake up, I'm like, ooh, I'm Master Teacher 33. Father, help me be Master Teacher 33. I know I'm dropping some deep shiznits, but J Money, there's some deeper shiznits out there that need to be dropped. That's where I'm going. Now, everybody else, or most of what I know, they're not interested. They're not interested in growth. Brother, they're not interested in growth. Sister, this is about growth. Jesus came that you may grow. And that you may grow more abundantly. That's what the words Z-A-O and Z-A-E means. That's what the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center is about. I don't care how much money you make, there's more to be made. I don't care how healthy you are, there's more blood cells that need oxygen. There's more alkalinity to be gotten. There's more mucus, there's more detoxing, there's more shit that you can get out of your body. You healthy, you can be healthier. You wise, I know you can quote scriptures forwards and backwards. I know. You can levitate. I know, man, you're a bad mama jamma. But guess what? There's more out there, boo-boo. We live in a vast universe. So you know everything on Earth? Okay, do you know everything on Jupiter? How about you go learn about what they're doing on Jupiter? What about Saturn? What about Mars? What about Pluto? There's a vast universe. And people tell me, well, Doc, I'm not interested. I don't want to know more. It's me, my foe, and no more. I understand. That just happened to be the opposite of something called spiral, where we get the word spiritual. So spirituality is spiral. That means that you're spiraling upward, hopefully, or downward. Nothing stays the same. You either are growing or decaying. Which one is it for you, boo-boo? Notice, man, I mean, this is amazing to me because in Mark 9:24, the guy says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. He was aware that his belief system was actually his unbelief system. He was aware, his perception was, I'm very perceptive. But the fact that I am very perceptive, that makes me unperceptive. Because if I am very perceptive, I am very receptive. And if I'm very receptive, that means that I'm very deceptive. I'm very deceived because that's the system that we live in. So if your awareness, being aware that you are unaware, helps you to become aware, that's it. I'm not saying you got to go anywhere. I'm not saying you got to change anything. I'm not saying that you got to buy anything. All I'm going to be saying is if you do this, now this is what I do. This changed my life. Because everywhere I go, I know that there are people that have good intentions. But I know that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So I know that people, there are unintentional collateral damage that happens. So if it happens, I'm not surprised. If it doesn't happen, I'm not surprised. Meaning, any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. If I'm abound or if I'm abased, I'm still good. What does that mean? What does that mean? That's called detached attachedism. If you do not have that, your dog will not hunt. If you're not comfortable with the possibility, I'm not saying that you got to go order it and create it. I'm just saying if you're not comfortable with the possibility, there is a possibility, brother. There is a possibility, sister. Although limited, it's still a possibility that there could be some unintentional collateral damage. It's a possibility. And if you're not prepared for that possibility, it's going to catch you off guard. And you're going to take it personal. And you're going to react. And once you react, then you enact. And once you enact, bam, the Cosmo Grata owns you. Because that's what he wants you to do. Because once you enact, now you get out of, or you stay in, I should say, Groundhog's Day. Because how do you get out of Groundhog's Day? Take it upon yourself to establish personal, spiritual revelation and inspiration. The highest level of wisdom can only be received directly from God and his messengers, angels. It is your individual, Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. It is your individual responsibility for you to communicate directly to the Father or his Spirit every day. It is your individual responsibility that you connect directly to the Father, the big G, the one that we're breaking down, the 13 little G's you got to get through to get to the big G. Because the little G's, those are all good. Remember, the devil took Jesus up on the mountaintop and tempted him 3 times. You bow down, worship me, all of these kingdoms. And what did you do? You did the same thing I did. You bow down. We all did. I thought we got here. So the devil took you on. Now remember, you believe in God for a job that pays $25 an hour, right? For an example. And you get a call from somebody that's offering you $20 an hour working. You believe in God for a job making $25 an hour, dollars an hour working inside. You get offered a job making $20 an hour working outside and you take it. You're like, man, that's good, Brother Will. $20 an hour working outside, that's good. Yeah, but that ain't great. Yeah, brother, but, you know, oh, man, you know, time, man, bills is coming, bro. Like, I got to get, man, I'm taking this job, man. Bump that. Good is the enemy of great. You are in Groundhog's Day right now, today, because life is good. You know, you're good and well. You're not going to change. I eat Krispy Kreme donuts. When I good and well know Krispy Kreme donuts will kill you over time. But right now, since my health is good, I still eat Krispy Kreme donuts. Now, it's been a while since I ate one, but I like the story that Les Brown said. He was talking about this dude that was extremely overweight. And Les Brown, man, this is funny, but it's true. There's a guy went to the doctor, and nobody could get the guy to lose weight. I've said this story before, so if y'all heard it before, bear with me. Had to get some water. So Jay Money, the dude, went to the doctor, brother, and his wife feared nobody could get this dude to lose weight. The doctors do say, man, if you stay overweight, man, your kidneys, blah, blah, blah. Dude say, hey, I got two of those, man. And he's like, man, I'm not giving up my food, bro. And like, I like eating. I like this and that. And the doctor went through all of this list of things that could happen to him. Because right at the time, you know, the adverse effect of carrying around that extra 100 pounds on his body, it hadn't manifested yet. So he was like, I ain't worried about it. I'm good. Jay Money, he's good. I'm good. He told the doctor he's good. And the doctor going through this list of stuff, and then the doctor said one of the side effects, one of the things of being extremely obese and overweight was impotency. And then he kept saying, and then, you know, you could get gout, you could get then. He said, hold up, time out, what do you say? And then the doctor said, told the dude, yeah, one of the side effects, you know, one of the problems with being overweight, especially for men, is impotency, being impotent. Jay Money, the brother went to the gym, homeboy, 30 days. I don't know if he got on my program, but he got on somebody's program. The dude lost all the 100 pounds in 30 days. Because that one word, impotency. Now, I don't know what your one word is to get you out of being good. But there is a benefit that I'm not saying. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, I'm going to keep going through the list. I'm going to keep doing shows. We're going to keep doing one-on-ones. And then one day, I'm going to say a word. You're going to say, hold up, doc. What did you just say? And I'm going to say, yeah, man, if you keep doing good, you know, you're going to only make, you know, you're going to top out at $20 an hour and working outside. Even though it's not purpose, you're working for money. You're not working for purpose. That may be the benefit that says, oh, man, bump good. I want gooder. And then you're going to get out of Groundhog's Day, just like that. You can take 5 years. Now, it took me 50 years, for the light to finally come on. But I had to go through a bunch of lights, plural, because, remember, I was in a deficit. So I started behind the curveball. I'm talking about if everybody's on the team and everybody's starting off on a level field. There's some people who are like me. You're about 13 steps behind. So we got to go through. You got to go through 13 layers of truth just to get on a level playing field. Then you can start counting. That's where I started. See, I was in such a hole that by the time, I mean, when I was in my 20s, woo wee, that was some dark days, brother. And I was good. Remember, I was riding around in a convertible Bentley, pearl white Bentley in San Diego, carved off by the sea, Lemon Grove, Coronado Island. I was riding around looking at million-dollar houses with my buddies Nick and Sandy. Dumb as a box of rocks. Yeah, but I didn't know. Why? My perception limited my reception. And that limited reception continued to empower my deception. The reason I stayed in Groundhog's Day for 50 years is because my life has been good. If I had been homeless and destitute or terminal cancer or illness or impotent, all of a sudden, I'm all ears and I'm desperate and I'm willing to do anything to get out of Groundhog's Day. All I'm simply saying is I've learned, brother, God does not have to put me in the desert or the valley to get my attention anymore. I'll say, God, if you're listening, I'm good with adversity, bro. You ain't got to send me no more adversity. In fact, if you need to get my attention, you ain't got to send poverty or disease or sickness. All you got to do is say, hell, yo, Brother Will. That's all you got to do, bro. So I'm telling you, God, are you listening? I don't need no more adversity. I'm good on adversity, homie. Now, for some of y'all might need a little touch from the master. Me, y'all got to tell me what. Like, I'm not hard-headed, and I used to be. I retired my hard head. I retired, J Money. You got to tell me 15 times, bro. You got to tell, God got to tell me once. Negro, don't go that way. Okay, good. We good. I'm not going down that road. Which way you want me to go? Now, it took me a while to get to this spot, but now that I'm here, now that I understand how the universe works, it's simply that still small voice gives you a nudge or a urge or a thought or a desire. That's how God speaks. God will tell you something, but it's not audible. It's in your heart, and it's always compassion. It's always a deeper love. Now, you got love, but then there's a deeper love. Remember, toe curling. Clink is your toe curled. Now, everybody has love. But everybody is not in love. Come on, preacher. Let me say it again. See, we live in a world as we talked about before, your enemy is the word life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are all Luciferian terms. That's in the devil's Bible. That's our fourth of the Declaration of Independence. Life. Now remember that word in the Greek, it means power of choice. So your enemy is choices, options. The more options you have, the more deceived you are. That's why people that have a lot of money, they usually are in a very dark place. Look where R. Kelly is at right now. R. Kelly's where he's at because that fool could have any girl he wanted. So he tried to have them all. I ain't mad at him. But can't be on TV crying now, boo-boo. It's like, I just thought about that when he was out there. So the key is to be in a position to do anything you want and not do it. That's how you know you're awake. Spiritual awareness. Now, if I'm not in a position to, let's say, have 10 women in rotation, but if I'm a multi-billionaire and I can afford to pay for 10 women's houses and I could afford to go visit them in rotation or fly them to come see me or do whatever, if I'm in a position to do, quote-unquote, evil or bad or things that are not socially acceptable, if I'm in a position to do it and I don't, ding, 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 that's how you know you're out of Groundhog Day. Now, if you're sitting at home right now and you're listening to my voice and you're like, you're not in a position to do anything other than what you're doing. Okay, this message, probably not for you. But if you are in a position, you're good. And you have the magical power of choices and opportunities because it is a power. The most powerful power on earth is free will. The angels don't got it. That's why they're jealous of you. Angels don't have free will. They are programmed. Cats, dogs, a dog sees a cat, he must chase. I got a dog, and every time we take him out, if he sees a cat or a squirrel, he goes bonkers. He goes, wow, that symbol, calm down, dude. He's programmed. Birds must fly south in the winter. They are programmed. You, however, you got choice. You got consciousness. You got awareness. You got the ability to, you got the power of choice. That is power. So spiritual power, the key to getting out of Groundhog's Day is not making choices. It's not making them. The reason that you are in Groundhog's Day, it's because you keep making choices that are distractions. Because Groundhog's Day is a distraction. Groundhog's Day distracts you from living on purpose. You ever notice that you go to work every day, and the reason that because you go to work, you ain't got time to study. That's Groundhog's Day. Groundhog's Day is living. If you have lived, that makes you a devil. Remember that? L-I-V-E-D. Turn it around. D-E-V-I-L. Do you know live is evil? So if you are, if right now, what we're doing, that's evil. L-I-V-E. Turn it around. E-V-I-L. This is evil. That's what all the ancient texts say. The act of engaging in this thing that we call, it's a distraction from what? Being and being and communicating with the Father. The highest level of gnosis or knowledge is personal spiritual revelation and inspiration that comes directly from God. Doesn't come from food, doesn't come from water, doesn't come from the Remnock Bishop, doesn't come from Master Teacher 33, it doesn't come from no dog or no cat or no squirrel or no, all of that stuff is great, but those are all distractions. Life, the process of living, is a distraction from being. Living distracts you from being. Living is Groundhog's Day. Life is Groundhog's Day. So the ability to be in a position to make a choice to go anywhere in the world and do anything you want, but you choose to sit and be still and know spiritual power. That's how you know you have a Groundhog's Day. The only way out of Groundhog's Day is for you to directly receive your perception, your reception from God. Not no man, woman, or child. What does that mean? How does that flesh out? How does that work out? Well, you got, this is what I do. Everything I teach, it doesn't come from man. Everything I've learned, I didn't learn from man. When I say something, somebody sends me a video of somebody else who said it or something else, or I find some ancient text. And I'm always blown away, like what I'm teaching right now. I always knew intuitively because it came from God. That's why, again, because I got trust issues. And I thank God I got trust issues. Because if I didn't have those trust issues, I would do what I did the first time around with my first pastor, and he spoke. It was like I told you guys before, I would have took a bullet for that dude. Like, I had that dude, and I put him in God's place. That's why I'd be very careful. Never put someone where God is supposed to be, because God will remove that someone. Woman, if you got a man and you have your man in God's place, your man is in danger. Men, if you got a woman, that you love that woman more than you love your God, that woman is in danger. Your job, whatever you put before God, is in jeopardy. Now, I'm not talking about the little one. I'm not talking about the little G's. I'm talking about the Father of all light. Because all good gifts come down from the Father of light. Brothers and sisters, right now, the thing that has you in prison is the shackles that you have on your feet, that you put on your feet. And those shackles that you have on your feet right now is called a good life. Brother Will, I have a good job. Okay? Brother Will, I have a good wife. Okay? Brother Will, I have a good husband. Okay? Brother Will, I got good children. I got a good dog. I got a good cat. I got good neighbors. I got a good car. I got a good house. I go to a good church. I have a good pastor. But the real life is good. The fact that your life is good is the reason why your life will never be great. Without the ability to transcend from good to great, you will be, I'm going to use the word marked, if you want to use that word, for lack of a better term, and you will do kind of like what Cain did. Cain was a fugitive and a vagabond, and he wandered around the earth, according to the story. Why? Remember the story of Cain and Abel? First two children of Adam and Eve. Cain made his living as a farmer. Abel made his living as a shepherd. The world's first dispute was between two brothers over what? The subject of religion. That's why all religion is a fraud. Both of these dudes offered. Remember, both brothers made an offering to God. Remember Abel? Abel was the firstborn, and he offered God a sheep. Cain, he offered God the produce that he grew, that he produced from the ground. But God only took Abel's sacrifice and found it acceptable. So what did his brother do? His brother got angry. Why? He wasn't validated. He wasn't accepted. But what was his punishment for killing his brother? He was mocked and he was cursed. And he was forced to go out and do what? What did he do? Cain built an entire city. Eastward, out of Eden. Cain establishes gain. Cainism. So now we got Canaan, the Canaanites. They worship the Cain which is the K9, which is the K9, which is the dog star, which is Sirius. That's what we got, Sirius FM radio. It's a dog star. It's the Canaanite. It's the dog. Turn on dog, you get God. All religion is designed to keep you fighting against your brother. Because both brothers want to be and need to be validated. The key to getting out of Groundhog's Day is getting out of the need to be validated and being self-validating. Self-sufficiency. That's what I do. I validate myself. Now, if somebody validates me, comes along, and you like my stuff, and say, hey, Brother Will, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, I'm going to say thank you, but I don't need your validation. Now, I'm not saying I don't want it. Let's not get it twisted. I like to be liked, but guess what? If you don't like me, guess what? So if I say, fuck you, and everybody like, oh, what's Brother Will curse? Oh, I can't listen to him no more. Click. Guess what, boo-boo? My life is going to get better. It ain't going to get worse. That's your cage. It's not mine. Now, it used to be mine. I used to be in that cage, too. I overstand. But I'm not there no more. Now, I'm free. My perception has expanded past language. I'm not insulted if you do not have the ability to express yourself other than using four-letter words. That just shows your level of your inability to use the English language in a more creative manner. So, but I'm not. That's just your level. Because remember, I used to be there too at one point. Now I understand. That, brothers and sisters, is freedom. It frees you. That freed me up. It didn't do nothing for other people, for the other person. It's for me. So the moment I got rid of that limit, that freed me up to do what? Go from good to good order. It doesn't affect other people. It affects you. Your perception, my perception of people who drop F-bombs is them knuckleheads, they don't understand the English language. That limits me. It don't limit them. They still dropping F-bombs. And a lot of people that drop F-bombs, they make way more money than me. Remember, I told you about my millionaire buddy that offered me to go along with him or at least be a part of what he was doing. He makes $1 million a month now. When we both started 5 years ago, he makes $1 million a month. But because he cursed a lot, I couldn't go with him. Because my perception of people who curse a lot means they're ignorant. Obviously, he ain't too ignorant. He's making $1 million a month. So who lost out on that deal? Yeah, me. Why? My perception limited my reception. I couldn't receive from him. So that establishes my deception. So I couldn't see. I was deceived because I perceived that everybody who drops F-bombs, obviously, they're not going nowhere. But I know a lot of people who drop F-bombs. You know that billionaire dude, that Hispanic guy from L.A.? That fool curses more than my buddy, and he's a $5 billion man. I forgot his name. What am I saying? Brothers and sisters, don't let your perception keep you stuck in Groundhog State. And also, don't let your reception, however great it is, keep you in deception instead of inception. Stay in a place where you can receive, where you can bring inception. Inception comes from the Father and his angels or his messengers. And you can always know it's the Father because it's always in love. So if something comes in your spirit that says, go steal something from somebody, you know it's not the Father. Why? It's not mutually benefited to both parties. It's not a win-win. So if you get an ideal, and the ideal is you make a bunch of money, but everybody else, you got to poison their water put chemtrails in the air, and you're going to kill a bunch of people, but you're going to make a bunch of money, that's not the Father. The Father's inception is always win-win. It's never you get a piece of pie and I don't. There's enough pie for everybody. The Father's is always mutually beneficial. So if you got a product, service, or information, and it only benefits you, that's not from the Father. But if you got a product, service, or information that benefits other people more than it benefits you, because your rewards in life equals your service to others. Greater service, greater reward. So once you develop a product, service, or information that benefits other people the same or more than it benefits you, you can rock and roll. That dog hunts. Brothers and sisters, don't let your perception limit your reception, which keeps you in deception. Make sure you get inception from the Father. That's going to expand your perception so that way now you can have reception from what God is saying. That destroys your deception, and that establishes more inception, the ability to receive from the Father, because all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. He has a name written on his thigh that no man can pronounce. May his son, the Ruach and the Numa, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne.
Listen.
Don't let them entities take up your home.
Trippin'.
Cause you're the entity that make them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow.
Yeah.
I be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just walk with love.
Yeah.
They just wanna give me the mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. They sweep it under rugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask for grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one,
day one.
So do it for yourself, you the day one,
day one.
Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
This world is yours, it's yours to show.
I'm back of all my grizzly. Used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, Captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages.